My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Well, last week, you just started talking to me. I didn't realize we were podcasting at that point.
Yeah, we're just off and running as it is.
Yeah, well, that's how you do it. I think that's cool. Brave new era of podcasting.
Yeah, and this is a first, too, for this program, because now there's an extra voice
that's
sitting
right
here.
That's right. We've got a guest here in Mr. Andy Galloway.
Hello.
From New Johnsonville, Tennessee, right?
Might as well be Mayberry.
As opposed to the old Johnsonville?
Yeah, the old Johnsonville's underwater. Have you ever seen Old Brother, Where Art Thou? Where TVA floods a town?
Yeah.
That's Johnsonville.
Really?
It's completely underwater. All the buildings, they didn't even tear the buildings down, they just flooded it.
Did they move the bodies out of the cemetery?
I don't know. I don't really think so. They've got some high land where the Civil War stuff went on, but all the town and everything's still there.
I did not realize it was the same town.
Yeah.
They have to move it when they create lakes and flood areas and stuff like that.
Yeah, they made Kentucky Lake there or whatever, so TVA flooded it. And now TVA is going to close.
Are they?
Yeah, that TVA plant there is
going to
close.
Oh, that plant, not the actual
Yeah, no, that plant. It's a fossil fuel plant, so it's a bad word for EPA.
Oh, yeah.
Coal-burning plant.
They don't like that.
That does kind of put a smudge on TVA being like the cleanest, greenest.
Where I'm from in Texas, near Canyon Lake, part of the lake swallowed up a town, oddly enough, called Startsville.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, like the old math equation. A train leaves Startsville and arrives at Innsville at 3 p.m. It's a popular spot for scuba divers because they'll go down there and the buildings are there, and it's just kind of a creepy little thing. You know?
Wow. Well, yeah, it's a Johnsonville actually was a I didn't know that. I'm not from there. I'm from here, so I've learned the history there. But it was apparently a giant Civil War battle. It was the biggest depository of ammunition for the South.
Wow.
And the North came down the river and tried to raid it, and instead of them taking it, they decided to burn everything. They just burned it all.
Blow it up.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
So there's a couple gunboats and everything else sunk there where they just said, you're not getting it.
I never knew that.
So if you're not from there, why are you there?
Work. I work for DuPont.
Oh,
well, right now I'm working for DuPont. They've split off, so now I don't really know who I'm going to be working for.
It'll be Monsanto before you know it.
DuPont's doing like every other company in the world. They're going green, so they're cutting all their ties to everything that they don't think is green energy stuff.
And there goes the fossil fuels and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Right, yeah, right.
I got you. That makes perfect sense. when Jeff told me that you were coming by, I said, he's a stormtrooper.
Not in the Nazi sense of the word.
No. Not the SS, yes. Not the Schistoffen. No, not that. No. And then you get out of the car with the helmet.
Yeah.
Then now you were in the 501st?
Yes.
Still am.
Still in the 501st. Mid-South Garrison is the garrison they broke it off in garrisons basically for states.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mid-South Garrison actually encompasses Kentucky and Tennessee right now. We figure Kentucky's about to break off to their own thing. The Mid-South Garrison started, it hadn't been that long, about 7 years ago, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, they were called the Southern Outpost, and they had Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Kentucky all in one group.
They have a rebel flag somewhere embedded in the Imperial logo there.
Probably. And then they all got to bickering back and forth because, you know, we're all just a bunch of geeks wearing plastic running around. So you get a bunch of geeks with power and in plastic.
Yeah.
There's going to be some.
That one guy that lives in mom's basement is going to get a little power and it's going to get
over his head. So you start getting guys arguing, fussing back and forth and everything else.
And but it's serious, though.
We do a lot of, we do a lot of good stuff. We do a lot of fun stuff.
Of course. I mean, there's a lot of charitable stuff. You go to hospitals and things like that and cheer up the kids. But, you know, the whole point, you guys have to make your own costumes and uniforms, right?
Right. Yeah, we build everything.
I mean, it's not like you can go to Stormtroopers R Us and buy one off the rack.
No.
I'll take a 34 long.
There are a couple websites that actually sell complete Stormtrooper costumes, but if anybody put it on, somebody saw you in the street, hey, you're a Stormtrooper.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to actually looking like one of the Stormtroopers that walked off the set of a Star Wars movie, there's a lot of differences in them, and you're not going to get something that fits you, your body size. You're going to buy something that's somewhat
close to you. Those are such form-fitting costumes that they that you know.
Yeah, and I'll wear mine for hours. I mean, I was at Wizard World last year, and all 3 days I wore my armor all day long.
Oh my God.
So, and I have cut mine to where I can go up and down stairs in it comfortably. I can pick something off the floor. I can't exactly like bend over real quick and grab it, but I can get something up off the floor.
Yeah.
Cannot sit down. You can't sit down in these things. Once you're in it, you're stuck.
So when you go to make these, do you go to like Lucasfilm and get the blueprints for these things? Or,
no, I mean, there are actually armor builders. There's about six armor builders right now that are actually, they're approved by Lucas and everything. They allow them to do this, basically.
Right.
And that's becoming a whole different ball of wax now that Disney has bought things.
Are they going to put a damper on what you guys are doing?
We got worried that they are. They have stuck their nose in a lot of stuff now. If it's an official, like if somebody's promoting, I just did a Vans shoe event, which was awesome. Vans is actually getting ready to launch a whole line of Star Wars stuff. They're going to have shirts, shoes, everything else to the old, not the prequel junk, but the original trilogy.
4, 5, and 6.
Yes. So they had to get approval from Lucasfilms to do this. In turn, to have us there to help promote it, we actually had to send in pictures and our height and everything in and out of our boots to Lucasfilms for them to approve us to represent them for Vans. So the whole, you're a little short to be a stormtrooper, was actually perfect for me. I was a shoe-in because the guys in the original trilogy range from 5'8 to 5'10.
Oh, they
all the stormtroopers were. So they were
except for that 1 6-foot motherfucker.
Yeah, except for the one guy that hit his head on the door. But that was probably somebody's son or something.
I think he was the basketball champ of the stormtroopers.
Yeah. Plus our Vader that we had, they had to make sure we were all shorter than the Vader. Because Dave Prowse was huge.
He's 6'4", 6'5",
something like that? Dave Prowse, the original Vader, the guy that was actually wearing a suit, was gigantic. I mean, he was a bodybuilder and everything else.
Yeah.
And so they had to make sure we were all, you know, about the same height and shorter than Vader. But what's badass is the first time I've ever gotten paid to do that. I mean, I do it for fun. I do it just to be a rock star, basically.
Right, right.
But, you know, I got paid to do it. I'm getting a custom-made pair of shoes from Vans for me. And,
wow.
Yeah, so it's cool. But, yeah, there's about six armor builders. Basically, you get on a waiting list because these guys are vacuum forming. It's ABS plastic, and they've got these molds, and they're vacuum forming them. And it takes them a while to get all this stuff done. So you get on a waiting list, you get it, and it's basically just a raw chunk of plastic. I mean, it's got a basic form there, but you've got a lot of cutting to do.
You
got
to cut it out and sand it.
Sand it, and you got to glue everything together and fit it to your body. Like my armor, the only other person could wear it is somebody that's exactly my build.
Sure.
I mean, and the helmets are the same way.
Really?
The two helmets that I bought one that's actually store-bought. You can just go on eBay and buy it. It's about $130.
Yeah.
And then I brought the helmet that I built. And the helmet that you can buy off the store, anybody can put that thing on.
Sure.
I mean, it's just, but my helmet is actually fitted to my head. I've got the padding in there arranged. I've actually got cooling fans because plastic doesn't breathe.
And it gets hot as hell in the thing.
You get very hot in those things.
And you're wearing like a black turtleneck thing anyway, right?
Yeah.
It's like Under Armour or whatever.
Yeah, I wear Under Armour heat gear is what I wear.
Yeah.
And it gets hot real quick. And what's funny is I don't realize how hot I am a lot of times because I've got those fans going around my head. And then when I get done with all this, I start peeling all this armor. It looks like a rainforest. There's actually moisture just running down inside all the plastic and all the armor. But, it's a lot of fun. I'm actually we've done a lot of stuff. Just did a thing for it's called Duchin. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in Dixon, Tennessee. And did a big thing for them. We're going to be at the Jackson Generals game on May 3rd. They're having Star Wars night. So we're doing a big thing there. I'm actually part of two groups, part of the Mid-South Garrison, the 501st.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have another costuming group that I'm a part of that's the Bestine Fan Force. And they center mainly on Star Wars, but we do everything. We've got a Batman. We've got Wonder Woman. We've got all kinds of superheroes. We've got a Venture Brothers. We've got a few henchmen. I've got a henchman costume that I've made.
Neat.
Yeah, so we just have a lot of fun. We just geek out.
Now, I grew up with anybody. We've known each other,
since I was 7.
Yeah, so I was probably 5, 6. Yeah, it's been a long time. But he's always been a crafty dude. I mean, like, there were summers where he would disappear. He'd go out to his grandfather's in Pine Bluff, Arkansas for, a month?
Yeah.
And he'd come back with, like,
swords he'd made in his grandfather's wood shop.
Wow.
I remember the M60 you made?
Yeah.
He carved it. He made an M60 out of wood. So when we played soldiers, we full size M60 made out of wood.
Hell yeah.
We all fought over who got to play with it. Nandy didn't care because I made plenty of those things. But he's always been crafty like that. But what got you into cosplay?
The chicks.
Actually, just
that's
a big plus.
The chicks are hot in this costume.
They have to be hot.
That is a big plus.
Because there's nothing more of a turnoff than a fat Leia.
Fat Leia or a fat Leia? What did you say?
One could lead to the other.
Well, you never know. Whatever looks good on a moped, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. The chicks are definitely a plus. What got me into it really was just going to some of the conventions and being around it and seeing some of these guys and stuff. Of course, I've always loved Star
Wars. And
they're
all having fun. I mean,
oh, yeah. Everybody's having a blast. I mean,
especially if you're in a good costume, people just stop you and want to take a picture with you.
Yeah, yeah, that gets insane sometimes, too. When I did Wizard World this last year, that was a big experience because a buddy of mine was in one of the Biker Scout costumes and I was in my Stormtrooper. We were the only ones there. This was on Friday at Wizard World, first day. Nobody else was there in Star Wars stuff. There were there were tons of superheroes everywhere and different movie costumes.
Yeah.
Right. But then we were the only Star Wars characters. We couldn't go 20 feet without getting stopped. It took us an hour and a half to probably travel 40 yards because
Good
everybody
Lord.
Was stopping us to get pictures. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was great. You know, you got girls hanging on you.
Up too. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But kids eat it up. Go crazy.
And it's really funny because a lot of people you wouldn't expect would eat it up, but it's like everybody knows Star Wars. I mean, everybody knows what a Stormtrooper is. But it's a lot of fun. And of course, another fun thing, too, is nobody knows what you look like. I mean, you're behind a helmet.
Uh-huh.
So they don't know what you're looking at.
And you're not
smiling at them.
You're not talking either, are you?
No. No, you just give them thumbs up or shake your head or wave them over
it's
or whatever.
It's the international
rule
of being a mascot of some sort. You don't speak when you got the thing on.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's a lot. And you don't ever take your helmet off in public where people can really see you.
That's like the Disney rule. That's like the Carney rule.
Yeah, you just kind of take your helmet off, you know, off hide so the illusion never gets broken, especially for kids.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like Jango Fett. What the hell?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we did do something this past when we did this muscular dystrophy thing. There was a little kid. Some kids do get a little scared, and we will pull our helmet up down. And say, hey, look, we're just a person under here. Yeah. You know, it's just you know, it's pretend.
We're not going to shoot you,
right?
You
well, this
shit.
One little kid was scared of one of my buddies and his Stormtrooper. He took his helmet off. He said, look, you know, I'm just a man. He said, we all look alike. Well, his head shaved. I mean, we look a lot alike. His head shaved and everything. He goes, look, we look all just alike. Andy, come here. So I took off my helmet, and this kid's eyes just got huge. He's sitting there looking at us. It's like, we're all the same. It's no big deal.
We're all clones.
That's
just,
right.
Just the way Lucas envisioned it, right?
So, yeah, it was pretty funny. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm actually building my wife right now not Boba Fett, but it's a bounty hunter, just like Boba Fett, a Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Building her a set of armor right now. And
wow.
I've taken a mannequin, actually one of these body forms, a female body form, and cut the armor out of it. So she'll have breastplates. So you can tell it's a woman when she's wearing it. She'll have boobs that's in armor.
Awesome.
And she's little bitty, so that's going to be kind of funny, too, because she's all of 5'2". So you'll have this little bitty bounty hunter running around. But
hey,
she's wanted to get badass with it. I mean, I've been working on it. I've taken a Dremel and put deep claw marks in the helmet and everything, like she's been attacked, and we're gonna have damage and battle damage and all this crap on it,
and custom paint job on it. And,
oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and it's been fun. It's been I've started getting kind of stressed because I'm getting down to the wire because she wants to wear it at this Jackson Generals game, which is May 3rd. So I'm running out of time, and I'm starting to really get worried.
And so when you put this stuff on and you're gonna go somewhere,
yeah.
And let's say you can only put that stuff on when you're doing an official 501st event, or
nope.
You can just
he wears it around the house. Don't let him kid you.
And this is an argument I've gotten into. And like I said, you got these power hungry guys in every group, any club. Guys that are power hungry. And we've had some guys try to say, you know, well, you can't wear that because you know that you're in the 501st, and that's you know that you're part of the 501st and you're representing them. And it's like, no, I paid for that armor. I built that armor. That is my armor. I'll wear it when and whenever I want to.
So if you felt like taking it and strapping it on and going out to Walmart.
Yep. Yep. We did it.
Be a YouTube video in that.
Yeah. Well, hey, there's some YouTube videos floating around probably of downtown Nashville, because one night we went out. We did an event during the day. It was an autism event or something. We went to the bars one night, three of us.
Yeah.
Hanging around drinking. And one of my buddies got really drunk, and he looked at us. He's like, hey, man, let's put on our armor. come back into the bar.
Oh, God.
And I was like, oh, we laughed. I was like, yeah, that'd be a blast. He looked at us, no, I'm serious. And he disappeared. I'm like, where the hell did he go? We went and talked to the owner, and the owner was like, yeah. So we went back to our cars, getting dressed in the parking lot, you know, stripped down our underwear, put all this armor and stuff on it,
yeah.
Behind the trunks of our cars in the parking lot, walked back downtown Nashville, and it took us forever to get back to the bar. It was a karaoke bar.
Yeah.
We go back in this karaoke bar, and the place, just people went nuts, because you got three stormtroopers come walking back in there. Yeah. Well, we didn't bring our blasters. We knew better than to bring guns with us.
Oh, well, yes.
But, you know, we come storm back in this place, and people go nuts. And we're in there for a while, and we're like, you know, this is pretty cool. Let's just wander down Broadway. So we go out, and we wander down 2nd Avenue and Broadway, downtown Nashville. Of course, you got all the country music people and everybody freaking, and it was a blast. We got drug into so many bars and stuff. And
every drunk on the street is out there getting a picture.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder how far you guys would get down Beale.
Oh, I don't know. I'd try it. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like,
probably wouldn't get past security on Beale.
And I'm sure.
As long as I have eyes, that's the only thing. And when you put that armor on, you can't see below your cheeks.
Yeah.
You're blind from the cheeks down. Of course, you're blind on the sides. So the big rule to a lot of that is you have to have a handler. You have to have eyes for you, for somebody to look
in case
behind you
step
or whatever.
In a hole or a...
Well, or that you got some jackass that comes up and tries to push you or slap on you, or, you know, because it's plastic. It's not real armor. And we do get drunk people that think, hey, it's, you know, they're armored. And they'll they'll hit on you or something. It's like, dude, you know, this is an expensive costume. You get the fuck off of me.
And of course, all the drunk women are trying to grab you.
Oh yeah. We've had the night in Nashville. You know, I had lipstick prints on my codpiece, and you know, you had women grab you and kiss you and everywhere.
I've never had lipstick prints on my codpiece. Damn it,
man!
God.
You got to get a set of armor. Hey, what's my shirt say?
Chick dig
the uniform, you know?
Obviously, it is the case.
I mean, it is a lot of fun, and it really does attract a lot of attention. That's a big reason to wear it, too. I mean, you know, you can be
anonymous at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You can be anonymous. You know, you can put it on. People can crawl all over you. You can act a fool. Go take the armor off and go walk around. And
they don't know who's
you. They don't have a clue who you are.
Yeah.
It's like Batman.
Leading a double life there.
Yeah, and actually, we have in our Bestine fan force that we have a badass Batman. He's actually the Nashville Dark Knight is what he's represented as. And they call him for all kinds of... He has thousands of dollars invested in his costumes. He has the Arkham Asylum costumes.
Cheap.
No.
You can spend a lot of money to...
He has a complete motorcycle suit, Batman motorcycle suit, with a helmet, with the ears on it, and everything.
Wow.
I mean, he's full-blown. He's one of the best Batmans I've ever seen by far. And he'll hang out with all the Star Wars nerds.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, what was fun, too, is there was a convention we did in Nashville last year, GMX, Geek Media Expo is what it's called. And it's just in a hotel. It's a little small thing. But I wore my Monarch henchman in there from the Venture Brothers.
Uh-huh.
And my buddy Adam, that's Batman, wore his Batman. He wanted us to hang around with him all the time. So he had these two little Monarch henchmen following Batman around all the time, and we're like aiming our dart guns at him and everything.
That's
else.
Hilarious.
And, oh, yeah, it was a blast.
Is there a Superman in the midst of all of this?
There's one that Adam knows, but he's not in our group yet, and he is an incredible Superman. He doesn't need the muscle.
And you got to be in good shape to pull off Superman. Yeah.
And Adam's wife is Wonder Woman, and she is phenomenal.
I'd like to meet Adam's wife.
she is phenomenal. Actually, you saw her at Wizard
World. That's right. She was
the tall brunette.
Was she Poison Ivy at that? Or
yes.
Was she?
Yeah, she did Poison Ivy.
Yeah, you gotta have the stuff. It's a confidence thing to step into that Superman thing.
Yes.
In fact, I just watched Man of Steel last night.
Yeah, you really had to be confident to wear that costume.
It's like the second time I've seen the film.
Yeah.
And the first time I saw it, I panned the hell out of it. I thought it was, you know, pretty stupid.
Yeah.
And there are some dumb parts to the film. But when you get through it a little bit and you realize that there's a little more to the story than meets the eye, it's not that bad of a film. And Henry Cavill did a pretty good job.
Oh, I think he did a great job. I just my biggest problem with it, and I know this has been done to death by every geek who watched it, was just the level of destruction in Metropolis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and it's
a little over the top.
It's exhausting. They could have cut a half hour out of that film.
You see, like, Zod punches him through, like, four buildings. You just think, man, how many people just died that were just sitting at the cubicle?
Buildings coming down and, you know.
Well, that's become popular with a lot of the movies now. I mean, think of the Avengers.
Yeah.
They absolutely destroyed a city. I mean, you know, it's...
Yeah.
I mean, well, any of them have come to that point now where they're just...
There's stories that have been done about the collateral damage of superheroes.
Yeah, I've read that.
You know,
well, you know, that's the Incredibles was based on that whole concept of
the public getting to the point where like the lawsuits are piling up.
when they all had to retire.
The Watchmen was part of that.
Well, you know, actually, yes, Incredibles was kind of a loose adaptation of Watchmen. If you're a geek like I am, you'll pick up the
giant blue naked guy.
And the big blue floppy Wang, you know, up on the big screen.
You know, but I didn't need to see that.
Nobody did.
He goes to the Vietnam War wearing a codpiece, but every time else, I mean,
You know, in the movie, it's supposed. They never showed him naked in the comics. They just showed him wearing around in tights. But I think the point, and artistically, and I think the decision was that you're trying to illustrate how he's so far out of touch with humanity that, you know, the more powerful he gets, the more he's just. Doesn't matter if his schlong's hanging out.
I guess if I had that kind of power, I wouldn't care either.
Knocking buildings over with it.
You're watching atoms move past your face. Who cares, you know?
It's same thing with being Superman. Why bother?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing with Superman is they have to humanize him so that we can all, like
well, they took off his red shorts for this, for Man of Steel.
Yeah, that was such a big controversy, and I always thought it looked weird with the underwear on the outside. Kind of a Madonna look, you know.
I'd heard a rumor that when Brandon Routh did Superman Returns, that is a brutal film, my opinion.
It's a great remake of, you know, the Christopher Reeve stuff.
He sounded like him. He actually looked like him. But apparently, he's packing a hog. And they had to digitally kind of, you know, because it was too distracting. And the suit he was wearing.
Sticking out from underneath the red shorts, running down the legs.
Superman's not supposed to be carrying a gun. Oh, wait. Hey,
he is Superman, isn't he?
All the women are going, oh, my, you know, look at him. And then it turns out he's like, oh, stop it. I'm just Superman. So, you know, a little gay, which is fine.
Well, you know, it's funny to me, though, because... kind of going back to the conventions and the costume and everything. Mm-hmm. No, but this ties in. You know, back in the late 90s, I was part of a team that published a comic. We used to go to those conventions, and that's back when it was more on the fringe, you know? It wasn't nearly as mainstream as it is now. And you would see the people dressed up in costume, and it's not the level of effort that they put in now. I mean, it was there. It was the beginnings of what you see now in that culture.
Yeah, well, and also...
But you'd also see some ugly girls walking around dressed up.
Yeah, well, there are some people out there that, I mean, I'm all for, if you want to dress up as something, go for it, do it. Don't necessarily, though, put yourself next to somebody that really is fitting the costume that pulls it off. I mean, I wouldn't discourage anybody from doing anything they want to do. You know, if they want to build a costume, no matter what it is, go for it, build it, try it. But just be aware that when you do that, if you're not fitting for the costume, you better have a thick skin. Because chances are, especially with social media, you're going to be online. You're going to be on the internet somewhere.
The people at that convention might be brutal to you in your face.
Right.
I've seen it happen.
Yeah. People will get brutal, but the social media is what'll brutalize you the most. And you better be ready for it. There's actually some guys in the 501st. That have been approved. Their costumes have been approved because their costume fits the approval criteria. Because they have things guidelines they have to go by. But we have a guy that dresses up as Anakin Skywalker. That is no exaggeration. He's probably 400 pounds.
And Anakin if he just let himself go.
Yeah, I mean it's like his costume meets the criteria. Yes, it has this. It has this. You know all that. But it's like. Dude, man, you know, you ate Anakin.
In my belly.
That's right. He turned into Fatakin. I mean, it's
Fatakin.
it's Fatakin Skywalker. But I mean, you know, it's.
But see, you know, that's a good thing to have that kind of quality control.
Yes.
Because you want the realism, and thanks to Hollywood, they've made it that much more difficult for you guys.
Oh yes, yeah, it's hard.
Picking nowadays.
There are some great reference websites that people can find. There's a site called the RPF, which is a replica prop former that is awesome. Those guys on that site are meticulous. They will find the specific material that a movie company used. I mean, they'll get it down to the millimeter of stuff. And I don't get that specific on stuff. I mean,
guys like Adam Savage from Mythbusters, who's
he's
a maker.
Big time.
Yeah, and he's on the RPF. Yeah. He's part of that site.
And he does his thing was the
blast. Pistol from Blade Runner. Yeah, he's done several versions of it.
Yeah, he's done 300 or 400 of them for all I know. But he's really into it. In fact, he has a some guy had made him the armor from Gladiator.
Oh, really?
From the Spaniard, the last fight that he has with Joaquin Phoenix in the Coliseum.
Yeah.
There's a replica of it, and they had it laid out, and I saw some pictures of this thing, and it's dead on.
Oh, yeah.
Dead on. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's like Adams made Hans Blaster. He just did that recently. And they got down to the millimeter on how far apart the holes were spaced and the blast.
And they're doing this off screenshots. I mean, it's not like it's...
Yeah. They just do screen grabs. I mean, that's what most of these people do now.
And I know Andy and I have talked about this, Rick, but something that's fascinated me about Star Wars for a long time is, you know, that movie wasn't... They didn't have a huge budget in 1977 to make that movie. So a lot of those...
Very low budget.
A lot of the weapons that look all sci-fi, a lot of the props was real kind of... It's what you do now in cosplay. Yeah. It was real DIY stuff. It was, you know, the lightsabers were the old flash tubes from old cameras.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, because everybody found that out, those flash tubes would be disposable. You throw them away when you're done with them. And now you can't get them on eBay without paying some serious cash for them.
Because you're talking about the aluminum ones that held the battery.
The aluminum handle with the battery in it.
I've got one.
It's worth more than you realize.
Probably worth more than the camera.
Well, that's like the little row of bumps. It's actually just lights that are on the lightsaber hilt.
Yeah,
that is the light display out of the old Texas Instruments calculators. The one that had the red display. You know.
Yeah,
those things are phenomenally expensive on eBay now because people take them apart to make lightsabers and stuff. They use just that piece out of it.
Wow.
But because of that, that calculator is stupid expensive. But it's like
they make those tubes anymore. Nobody has those kind of cameras anymore.
They filmed most of the original Star Wars over in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had a large cache of old World War II weapons.
That's right.
Almost every gun in Star Wars is an old World War II machine gun.
It does have that resemblance to it.
Oh, yeah.
Where the magazine goes and everything, yeah.
Well,
Hans
was an old Mauser that had vacuum cleaner parts stuck to it.
Yeah.
The blaster down there, the Stormtrooper blasters, that's a British Sterling machine gun. They were awful guns in World War II. They weigh a ton, but they took them, shortened the magazines, glued some electrical parts onto them, some resistors and stuff, and put a tank scope on it backwards, turned a scope completely around backwards and stuck it on there to make it all look sci-fi, and
the way
there
you
it
go.
Is. Yeah.
The blaster that Harrison Ford used in the first film just came up for auction not long ago.
Oh, I bet that went for a fortune.
I think the original start, I don't know what it ultimately went for, but I think they were expecting it to pull like $250,000, $300,000, you know,
easy.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
I can see that.
They had I guess it was Sotheby's that did it, but they had detailed photos of this thing.
Yeah.
And it looked beat to shit. The paint had come off. You know, and even after they'd shot it, it probably just wound up in a box someplace.
None of that stuff when they were making that film, they didn't think anything was going to become anything. So they trashed a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That's why there's actually from the A New Hope, there's actually only 3 known complete Stormtrooper armor sets in
from
existence.
That film.
Because they reused a lot of them for Empire Strikes Back. They put duct tape on them and gaffer's tape and everything else, try to stick them together. And then a lot of them, the actors took home. They threw them away when they get torn or busted.
Yeah.
There is a Death Star, half of the Death Star, in a museum in England that somebody took out of the dumpster during filming of Star Wars. Because they busted it. They cracked it, so they just chucked it out back behind the thing. And somebody thought, hey, this might be worth something someday.
So they
took it out, and now it's sitting in a museum.
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot of that stuff that just got beat to hell during those movies. And
a lot of it was beat to hell anyway. I know Lucas wanted a lived-in look.
Yeah, I was going to say, he wanted a worn look.
And using those World War II guns.
Yeah, Episode 7, of course, is in production now.
Yeah.
And I've heard they've built a full-size Millennium Falcon.
Yes.
I was
just telling Jeff that this afternoon. And also today, somebody somewhere off in the distance with a zoom lens took some pictures of some of the filming that's going on right now. And they're in the desert, so they're doing kind of a Tatooine thing, and they're rolling a thing out of a tent, and it looks like an AT-AT foot. I mean, it looks like it's a giant just disc. It looks just like an AT-AT foot. So they said that they're going to do more practical effects with these because they got so much headache from the first 3, all the CGI stuff. You know, nobody wore armor. I mean, it was all, you know, there weren't that many real people in that movie.
No,
it was mostly CGI. So
they're
going back.
They're going back to the old
practical effects. You
all
know,
the sets were up to about 7 feet were real sets. And it was green screen. It was, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going back to the good old style.
So they're gonna have actors in stormtrooper suits.
That's what we hear.
If there's stormtroopers in it,
yeah, there should be stormtroopers in this, a variant of them, because this is set after Return of the Jedi. So
20 something years, I think.
Yeah, 25 years. So those should be variants of stormtroopers and TIE fighters and everything. I hope. I really really hope. I'm really hoping for the best.
Oh, they'll change the designs. I'm telling you.
Well, yeah,
it'll have to sell toys.
It'll have to get changed some. I mean, that's just this.
Well, yeah, because it's progression. An actual progression of time. I mean, right. they got a dude who played Chewbacca. He's back in it.
I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's no spring chicken either.
No, he just had his knees replaced, so maybe he'll be able to hobble around a little better. He's been in a wheelchair for past
longest
year.
Time, yeah. But yeah, I saw that they had signed him on, so they are bringing back as many of these guys as they can.
Yeah,
so
that's cool. Of course, and there's so many R2 builders out there now.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal too. That's a whole different group in its own.
Granny Mahara does that from MythBusters.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He was one of the first ones that operated the damn thing in the first three, the 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a whole group. That's a whole group on its own. These R2 builders, and they build, of course, R2-D2, but then they build all the different variant droids off of those too.
Yeah.
And it's just phenomenal what these guys will do.
So is there a C-3PO in?
There is one. There's not one in the Mid-South Garrison. There's not one in Tennessee that I know of.
Takes a special kind of guy to want
to. You have to be a lanky dude.
Very, very special build, and also that's a very expensive build.
Because it's all gold, you know.
Because of the coating. Yeah, it's all gold. That's like Vader. Vader is a very expensive.
That's not just an 8-track, you know.
You got to get your legs cut off. You got to get replaced with cybernetics. I mean, it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, you're talking about a lot of leather.
Yeah,
that's a full leather suit. And I've learned a lot more about it too. I mean, I was a big.
He's
Star Wars
wearing.
Geek,
he's basically Batman.
He's
got a belt and he's got.
And he's got. I didn't even know it. He has two capes. There's an inner cape and an outer cape.
Yeah,
I didn't
know that. Yeah, I knew that from the figures. That's the reason I knew
two capes. And
why would he need two capes? Because he's just
he's that badass.
Because one gets burned. I don't know. He's got bad luck with heat.
Well, Prowse said that when they were shooting those films, that one of the coolest things that he had ever experienced was, even though everybody on the set knew what was going on and they were expecting him, he would come out of costume and he's ready to go onto the set to go shoot a sequence. And he would just walk out of there, and he had the helmet on and everything, and people would just move out of his way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's an intimidating.
You know, it's a psychological thing. It's like, ooh, my God.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I've actually had people do that with me in the Stormtrooper armor. I mean, I've walked through, and people kind of, you know, I'll walk through carrying the blaster or whatever, and people just part. It's like, you know, I'm all plastic.
I'm all plastic.
So here's the question. Can you shoot worth a damn?
See, that's one of the things too that's really silly. It's like they have this whole thing where stormtroopers weren't shooting worth a crap, hitting anything, but yet in A New Hope, when they go and all the Jawas are killed, you know,
this kind of marksmanship could only have been
right. This kind of it's like
it's the only time that happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. But yet the clones were expert shots. I mean, they were badass.
Oh, in the new trilogy,
the clones were badass. See, these guys were supposed to be derived from. It's like, what the hell happened? They start getting cross-eyed from getting inbred so much.
By Empire Strikes Back, it's like having a copy of a cassette tape.
What they say though, it really is by the time you start getting into actual stormtroopers, they quit cloning. They actually just started recruiting because the war was getting so big so fast.
Yeah,
they couldn't clone fast enough, so they started going to planets and recruiting people to.
Because
be stormtroopers.
Han Solo was
right.
was in there. He wasn't a stormtrooper though.
No.
He was just a pilot, wasn't
he? Yes, he was a pilot. Yep.
Well, so here's a question, because I've known you for a long time, Andy.
Yeah.
Would you say Star Wars is your religion?
Nah, I wouldn't say that.
Pop culture religion, so to speak?
Yeah, I would.
I mean, no judgment here. We saw Empire Strikes Back together.
No, I know too much about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say. Yeah.
Well,
I can argue a lot of stupid
comfortable
crap
with it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very comfortable with it.
Yeah.
I've got it all over my house. And luckily, I have a wife that tolerates every bit of that and is into it, too. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah, that's the lucky thing. The second wife. Wife number two is into all of it. So,
wife number one, not so much, huh?
No. Wife number one was too
much
into
herself.
She was
into her own kind of cosplay.
Yeah. She was
trying to be something she wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No,
I shouldn't
no.
be talking bad about your ex-wife.
Why not? You know, I'm not putting that on.
She's still trying to be something she's not, so that's
it tends to happen.
Yeah, but Yeah, it's a lot of fun when you get around a group of people that have the same likes, and you can just geek out around them, and you know nobody. Well,
again, you guys
you
are some crafty people. I mean, you just
And I enjoy
what you
that.
Can do with a Dremel and some paint, and just look at a like what's the guy's name that did the landmines?
Oh yeah, Keith.
When I met Keith,
yeah,
he's got these. These look like landmines. They got a little blinking LED on them.
Yeah, for G.I. Joe.
Sticking out of them. They look like Bouncing Betty.
Yeah.
Not that I'm qualified to identify a landmine on site, but he says, oh, yeah, it's a tortilla warmer. I just saw it on the shelf at Big Lots. Thought, man, if I painted that green, put an LED in it.
So you're even though it can be expensive, you can still get through it relatively reasonably.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
how much, this, your always, custom suit or your custom uniform, what did it, what did it cost you?
All said and done, I've probably got anywhere from $1,100 to $1,200 invested in it, because
for a costume that's high, but what you what you've made, not so much.
Right. I mean, there's now like the Venture Brothers henchman that I've built.
Yeah,
I made it, and I have less than $200 in it. I mean, it's just it.
No, it's not armor.
I mean, no, it's not armor. But there are. Yeah. I mean, there it's according to how much you can actually grab and make. Of course, the Venture Brothers thing, that's all off a cartoon.
Well, I mean,
so you
really
can be
kind of
with
a DIY hobby. You've got to be able to look at some of the shop at Lowe's and say, hey, that could be a...
Well, and a big thing is thrift stores. Thrift stores and Goodwills. Those are costumers' dreams. I mean, that you go in there and... If you're looking at stuff in a different light.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. If you have the imagination, you can go in there and you can see stuff that people don't see. You can look at something and say, hey, you know what? I can turn that into this.
Yeah.
Well, just like that this armor I'm building for my wife. It's out of a part of a mannequin.
Yeah.
And then I've taken parts of other things I've found in stores and everything else and cut it up and made armor pieces out of it and... I made her gauntlets for it, which are kind of like Boba Fett's gauntlets that had the rocket launcher. Mm-hmm. I took a couple tumblers, some cups, cut the bottoms out of them. That's my base, and I took some foam rubber and put it around the outsides and have painted it, and some dollar store guns and cut them up and put parts here and there and everything, and I've come up with gauntlets for
her. Did you make your blasters?
Yeah, it is actually based off of a Hasbro blaster.
Just a toy blaster from that's a licensed toy.
Yeah, you start with it. And you just start cutting pieces off of it and adding parts back on it, about like they did in the movie, to try to replicate what they ended up looking like in the movie. And I actually have, I brought both. I brought a before and after of what one looks like before you get started and what it looks like afterwards.
Cool. Yeah, I'll take some pictures of it and we'll post it up there with the
cool. Yeah, and I've got the difference in the helmets. Like I said, you got a store-bought helmet and then one that I've built. The Venture Brothers dart gun that's leaning up over there, I built it completely. It's just a piece of wood and a piece of PVC pipe.
Awesome.
I mean, that's all it is. It's less than... I built two of them for less than $10. So I built one for a buddy of mine. Now I'm stuck. I'm building several of them for... We're going to have a whole group of henchmen, it looks like. We've got other guys that are getting interested in this, which is going to be fun to show up at a place.
Well, that's another thing you guys all do for each other, too, is work on each other's costumes and each other's props. And
That's another thing, too, is when you get into this hobby, you'll find so many other people have a love for it so much that they will help you all they can. You'll give them parts, they'll give you parts, they'll give you advice, they'll come put stuff together for you. I mean it's a big it's fun. It's like a family.
Now the 501st of course is a international group, I
guess.
Yeah and
they're
so
worldwide.
You don't personally get the chance to go to like Comic-Con out west.
I hadn't been able to afford to yet. I would love to.
You also have to buy tickets like a year in advance at this point.
Yeah.
A presenter or as a prop.
Some of the cons there for a while were doing things where they'd give free passes to 501st members and stuff like that, basically because they'd have this big presence of the stormtroopers, this high-end costume
hanging
group.
Around in the lobby working in the parking lot.
Well, the convention scene has gotten so popular now, especially with these TV shows Heroes of Cosplay and everything like that. It's gotten greed has taken over. Wizard World last year we had, they called it a fan table, gave us a fan table for nothing, gave us some free passes and everything else. This year they're charging $800 for a fan table.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and it's a smaller table and everything else. They won't give anything free anymore.
You got to sell a shitload of stuff to
sell anything.
And that's the thing. Yeah, the fan tables, you're not allowed to sell anything. You're just supposed to be promoting a group. And it's like, you can't recoup that cost.
And the 501st, they don't.
It's a nonprofit.
No, it's completely nonprofit. Yeah.
You don't have anything to sell anyway.
No.
And you guys show up and you don't get paid for it.
Right. We don't ever get paid for it. We show up. do our thing, try to raise awareness of whatever it is we're at, try to help raise some money, and move on. But yeah, it's the TV shows that have come out have really put a damper on a lot of the con scene.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's just the TV shows. I know Andy and I probably talked about this before, but you know, again, I was going to these cons back in the 90s. And not the scene really hasn't changed much. I think the acceptance of it, and therefore I guess the game has been upped, because now that it's acceptable, you could see guys that'll go put $1,100 into a stormtrooper costume and show up. But what happens is, and we've talked about this before, that I think with the one thing the internet has done is driven traffic to these conventions, because now you can get the cast from The Walking Dead in Nashville, which that would never happen like 10 years ago, where the cast from It Show would just show up at a convention. But The internet kind of, you know, we think of it as this global thing, but it also tends to, I guess, get these groups that are fans of things to coalesce around those things, and then they're more likely to go to an event in their area, like one of these cons, and then the money starts flowing, and then people start wanting to get their beak wet.
A lot of it, though, the movie producers and studios are hanging out at these conventions.
Oh yeah.
And they're getting feedback straight off the fans, because that's what drives it.
Well, I think it started, you know, I've been to San Diego Comic-Con twice back in the 90s, and it wasn't then what it is now. What it is now is a huge pop culture and media convention.
Right.
Oh yeah. Back then, it was still basically centered on comics and fan culture in general. But it's turned into this kind of, I mean, they've kind of realized the power that has with their fans, and those fans.
Oh, they're leaking like the mini trailers, the teaser trailers. Oh, yeah.
Because they know if they can't get those fans to come out to the theater to see Iron Man, then nobody else is going to give a shit. Yeah.
And the San Diego Comic-Con it's become such a big ordeal. I mean, you would talk.
Well, DragonCon's getting there too. DragonCon's kind of like the East Coast version. I mean,
if I was to go to the San Diego Comic-Con, you're talking about a $3,000-$5,000 weekend. I mean, because they jack up the hotel rates, the passes are phenomenally expensive now to get into there. Once you buy the pass just to get into the con, now they have where you have to buy tickets to get into the different panels. You don't get into the panels now with a con ticket. Now you got to pay to get in the panel.
They figured out how to monetize everything.
Then you
got
to pay for autographs. You got to pay to take a picture.
And so that didn't used to be that way. It used to be your ticket would get you a whole
money vacuum pit. I mean, it's just,
bullshit. You know, that's not good to the fans.
No. And, I mean,
but the fans are still showing up to do it.
It isn't. I mean,
supply and demand. I mean, they're still going to come out and do it.
Oh, yeah. Know? Yeah, they don't have a problem selling out still. I mean, they still sell out in a couple days.
I will say this. Part of the problem with San Diego is it's a real estate issue. The convention center is right there on the bay. So there's only, I mean, it's, you know, the entire venue has its back to the water. So there's only so much space on the other side of it, you can put people and things, and so it gets pricey. Yeah. Dragon Con's in the middle of Atlanta; it's in the heart of Atlanta, that's why I see it growing. Actually,
I was going to say they're encompassing, I think it's 5 hotels now.
Yeah,
Dragon Con is. I mean, it's
and
it's
to think gotten, here in Memphis, about the only thing we have here is the furry convention.
We've got
we
have a furry convention.
Yeah, it's an Olive Branch.
Is it a furry convention, or what's the difference? It's furries and the.
I'm into costuming, but not that kind of
costuming. Oh, I know.
The whole furry thing.
Yeah.
That's
kind of freaky. That's getting on the
We have Mid-South Con.
Yeah.
Mid-South Con, but it's a...
We have some friends that are actually going to the Frolicon. I'm not even sure where that is.
Frolicon?
What the hell is that? That scared the crap out of me.
At the risk of offending our homosexual listeners, that sounds gay as hell.
Well, when I first heard about it, I was like, that sounds kind of cool. Basically, it's pretty much just kind of a big convention of anybody's fetish goes at this convention.
That's like a furry convention, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've got, they'll have
furries. With latex.
There, but they'll have latex. They'll have people walking around just in body paint.
They'll have some dude dressed as Rainbow Bright.
Well, they have sex rooms. They've got rooms where, you know, they...
Like a furry convention.
Yeah, it's like...
Have you been to Dragon Con yet?
No, we're going
this
year.
You know there's some of that element.
Yeah,
there.
I know there.
Is there really, even at these cons?
Look, not at all of them, but Atlanta's got an underground fetish scene that comes out for Dragon Con. So on the one hand, you've got superheroes and, you know, your favorite TV stars and comic book artists, and then on the other, you've got like this dominatrix just walking by with a guy on a leash.
Yeah,
and that's passing out cards.
And that's the Dragon Con scene, man.
Yeah.
I'm in room
243, fellas.
We are planning on going to Dragon Con. We have our passes, so we're planning on going. But I am not taking my armor. I'm just not gonna. I'm not gonna.
You're not gonna go there, huh?
No, I'll take the well, the visibility and the problem with not being able to sit down. Also,
yeah,
you can't.
It's a lot of.
If I gotta take a piss, I'm screwed. I gotta get almost completely undressed.
Really?
You cannot.
You can't put a hinge on the cod piece and be done with it.
No, it's actually the cod piece and the ab piece are all one piece. It's all sections together. So yeah, it's yeah. Once you're in it, you're in it. You know, there's no sitting down. It, you know, if you
can't
out,
get
you've
a drink
bad,
easily, right? I mean, you can't.
Well, yeah, just... yeah. I can take the helmet off with one hand pretty quick, but I have run a straw up under the helmet and done that before. That ends up getting bad pretty quick.
Yeah, but it's not like you're drinking beer or anything out of there either.
Oh no! I wouldn't do that in armor.
Not around the kids.
He would never dishonor the armor with alcohol.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if you get and also the fact if you get bad con food. And all of a sudden you get the squirts. You get that pain. You know, the armor.
You can't get it off quick either.
So, yeah, I'm probably going to take, like, the henchmen and anything else I've managed to build before then.
I'm telling you, man, you need to go to this Martian Manhunter. A whole lot of green paint.
Dude, I do not have the physique for that. Not even close.
All right, so I got to ask.
Yes.
I know you like going to the cons, and I've actually been to one with Andy and seen it go down.
Yeah.
But... do you prefer that, or do you prefer going to like the children's hospitals and the muscular dystrophy events? Or I mean, yeah.
I don't know. It really kind of depends on what you're looking for. The muscular dystrophy thing in the kids is fun because it's always fun to see kids smile and see kids get happy.
Well, especially kids that need to smile.
Yeah. But in the same sense, you're kind of on a tight line when you're doing that. You've got to be real careful how you act, what you do.
No beer through a straw.
No beer through a straw. Well, I mean, you got to watch your language. You also got to just be careful walking around. Like I said, you can't see these things real well.
Watch your language as a stormtrooper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've heard some.
Who knew
I've heard,
the Empire was so...
I've heard some, you know, I've heard a guy like, you know, hit a pole sticking up that he didn't see walking, you know, and some
son
words
of a fish. Yeah,
some words fly out, but it's fun to go make kids smile and stuff, but in all reality, I really like the con scene doing it because I get so much love, man. I get lots of people hanging on me, you know, and I can do what I want to do. I can act an idiot. I mean, I can dance around, I can jump, I can dance, I can run, I can
so
do whatever
they don't,
I want
they don't
to.
Care what they what you do then.
No, not at a con, I don't. It's pretty much anything goes at a con. I mean, if you're around the 501st table, though, let me rephrase that. If you're around the table, you got to act a certain way around the table because you're representing them. But once you break away and kind of wander off, oh, man, it's anything goes. I've pissed off some of the 501st members at parades because they get in this little straight line and they're marching like army men down the road. And I'm like, you know, we're doing this for kids and stuff to show off, to have fun. So I'll break off, and I'll run off, and I'll run into the crowd out of the parade, and I'll go over there and mess with kids, shake their hands, and run around with my arms out like an airplane and goof around.
Sure.
And it pisses them off because we got somebody in their heart. They're just tight asses about stuff. And it's like, dude, you're wearing plastic. You're playing pretend.
You're not a stormtrooper.
Yeah. Have fun with it. You know, have fun. That's the thing. It's have a good time. Don't be uptight about it all. But, you know, it's – and I guess, yeah, the cons I like best. That's more fun.
Yeah.
And now, you know, she's about to be in armor herself and have a helmet and have a little bit of the...
Oh, so she'll get an idea. Has she ever done that sort of thing before?
No. She's worn some costumes, but nothing with a helmet kind of thing. She's done, like, some steampunk stuff. We have some friends that are real big into Starship Troopers, and they actually have a bunch of the screen-worn costumes.
Wow. From
that, which, well, Starship Troopers was such a wash that you could get the stuff actually reasonably. They bought armor and uniforms and all that stuff, so she's worn some of the Starship Trooper stuff.
But to be an anonymous, you know,
right,
person,
she doesn't know that experience yet. No, and I was actually talking to her about
I guess
this
anonymity
morning.
Is a different, because I've seen you go out
it really
as
is.
Captain Picard,
yeah,
which he pulls off a mean Captain Picard, by the way.
Yeah, and I know nothing about Star Trek. I have,
typically, Star Wars people don't.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, I have a real good, big group of friends that are actually into all the Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
They're huge into Star Trek, too. And I have all these costumes. And they did a Star Trek panel at Wizard World and wanted me to be a part of it. And I said, I told them, I said, it's perfectly fine. I'm all for it. But
one doesn't work, dude.
I'm like,
plug it in down there.
Right. I'm like, I'm not talking about it because I don't know anything about Star Trek. I'll look the part. Yeah. I'll be your pretty stand in or whatever. You can talk about the costumes.
There's a power
that's
strip
it.
Behind that chair.
Oh, I got it. Should be interrupt
the
podcast.
Jackass.
It's right there behind the chair. What are you plugging it into? Behind the chair.
There's
the chair behind
there's a
you.
Chair, dude.
So now you obviously you've had to warn her that people, the fans, can get a little unruly and grabby.
Yes.
And
yeah, she has seen it because she's been my handler a few times where she's been my eyes, you know, watching. Because on these stormtrooper things, we have it's called a thermal detonator. It's just a tube with some caps on the back of it, but it's just clipped onto my belt, and people have been known to snatch those off and steal them. So yeah, you got to have eyes behind. So she's seen how some people can act, how they get unruly. And I was actually talking to her about this morning, and I laughed. I said, you got to remember, though, when you're in this thing, people can't see your expression. You know, they can't see you smile at them. They can't see you if you're pissed or anything. You're just a blank face to them. I said, so you have to use a lot of hand signals. So somebody pisses you off, swing at them, flip them off, do something like that. I said, or if a little kid's looking at you, I said, they can't see you're smiling at them.
Right.
I said, so you got to wave at them, you know, just kind of let them know that you see them and it's all okay. But, yeah, the anonymity.
Anonymity?
Yeah, that word.
I've been drinking beer, so it sounds like I'm slurring it when I say it anyway.
Sounded good to me, man.
Anonymity.
Yeah. No, yeah. I never thought about that, though, the anonymity of being in a mask. Now, I had heard that at one of the San Diego Comic-Cons, Sigourney Weaver had been there for a panel, but then she put on, like, I probably wasn't a stormtrooper, but she put on some kind of costume with a mask so she could just go out on the floor.
Adam Savage actually does that.
And go through the people.
Yeah, a lot of conventions. Yes, he puts on a costume.
I'll bet more celebrities do that than you realize. I really do. Because they can go be, you know.
At Wizard World, who was it? I forgot. Somebody that wasn't real big that I didn't really care much about was talking to us about it because I was in my armor. I had my helmet off.
Yeah.
And I talked about how they really wish they had something like that where they could just put something on and wander around and enjoy the con without people hanging
out.
And
seconds,
I kind of laughed. I told him, I said, well, if you dress in a stormtrooper, you're going to get stopped.
You're going to get people hanging on constantly.
Yeah. I said, you need to get something that people that they've seen 1,000 times before or they're not really that interested in. I said, then you can kind of breeze through. I said, but yeah, some costumes you get hung a lot. I mean,
because Adam wore a Chewbacca costume one, and he said it he got mobbed.
Oh yeah, sure. And he has an Iron Man Mach 3, I think, that he wears, and he said that was a mistake. He got absolutely mobbed because his craftsmanship is so phenomenal.
Yeah, the Mach 3 was good.
Looked like he just walked off the set. Yeah. So yeah, it's got its ups and downs as far as that, but yeah, that being able to also, it's kind of fun to be able to look at people and them not know you're looking at them. You know, you can have that helmet straight ahead and have your eyes cocked over and staring at somebody and
checking out Wonder Woman's ass.
Oh yeah,
So what do you use for the lenses in the helmet? Then is it like sunglasses lenses or
no? It's actually a grinding shield, just a dark green tinted grinding shield, and I've cut it out to fit the lens holes. My wife.
It's not like welder's glass. I mean,
it's the same. It's the same kind of thing, except it's the plastic one, like the full faced grinding shields that they use.
Right.
It's one of
those.
Pretty
dark.
Yes, it's very dark. It's very, very dark. Seeing out of it
must be a real joy.
It's great during the day. At night, it gets complicated during at night because it's like wearing sunglasses at night.
Well, you need to modify that helmet so you can flip over to night vision.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what.
Put another $1,100 in that costume.
Yeah, why not, man?
I don't know. Night vision has gotten kind of cheap now. You know, yeah, you probably get it fairly
bad. That probably wouldn't add any weight to the helmet either.
No.
I mean, I've already got fans in the thing. Yeah. And
before you know it, you'd be like Iron Man with just a readout and all that stuff that you can see.
Yeah. Now, that actually would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would.
The Iron Man suit does seem a little more practical, you know, for that kind of thing. But.
I know a guy that has an Iron Man suit that he built that's actually pretty badass. And the visor on it, though, he got complications for. He ends up walking around with it flipped up most of the time. Because he pulls off.
The Tony Stark.
He pulls off the Tony Stark look pretty good with the visor flipped up. But when it's down, the eye slits are so small,
he can't really see
out of it.
I never thought about that.
And he actually, he is a hell of a lot more of a craftsman than I am. He's got all this electronic stuff fixed into his. So his visor on his Iron Man helmet, he touches a button on his wrist, and the helmet actually opens.
Oh, wow.
And he has the arc reactor in his chest, and it's kind of flickering and stuff.
He actually has his chest cavity
hollowed out. Yeah, he got a new arc reactor. Yeah, he got an arc reactor put in. I mean, there's some guys, you know, you talk about me being crafty. I pale in comparison to some of these guys I've seen around. I mean, it's just.
But you've always had a base level of being able to look at a block of wood and say, that could be a bow and arrow.
One of my buddies today gave me a compliment. I really thought it was pretty funny. I was showing him the gauntlets that I built for Christy and everything, and showing him some of the armor pieces, and he called me Nerdgyver. He said, I'm the MacGyver of nerds. He said, you know, because I can take trash.
But that's the whole heart of being a maker.
Yeah.
Being able to take something and repurpose it.
Well, see, Andy and I were little kids, we both were into building models. You know, those old Revell model airplane
kids. Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure you did them too.
Oh, absolutely,
It's weird that my son has grown up without that even being a thing, but for everybody like our generation before, that was
we did airplanes, entertainment and stuff. Oh, yeah.
But this is the guy that I'd build an airplane and I'd paint it. Of course, he would build it, and he would spray paint, and he would do all the sprayers and make it look cool. But then he'd be like, "Here, man, take this like model glue and just let it sit on that side of the fuselage, and then push it in with your thumb. You can do battle damage and stuff." And I would have never thought to do that, just to let the model glue melt it a little bit, so you can give it an accent, give it a little detail.
I remember when I showed you how to do the bullet holes too, heating up the needle and start hitting.
Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff he would just come up with,
and you'd have the actual holes, and it looked like bullet holes all the way down the sides and stuff. And my wife asked me the other day, she came in and I was sitting there working on her armor. She said, "How the hell do you figure this stuff out?" I just looked at her and I was like, "I don't know."
Nerdgyver.
Yeah. It just comes to me.
Being an artist.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is an art.
I was an art major in high school. I mean, I took.
See, there's your answer.
I did all that stuff.
But he was, I mean, he always had a knack for that kind of thing. Just, you know.
You have to be creative.
Yeah. And it I guess it does help a lot to be able to envision a lot of the stuff ahead of time, too. I mean, I can see what I want it to be, like the finished product.
See, I look at a block of wood, I see something my kids need to get off the floor. I mean, Andy looks at it, he's like, you know, little spray paint, a little Dremel tool, that could be, you know, that could be Thor's hammer.
We can do whatever we want with it.
And a Dremel tool has definitely become my friend. I've learned more and more about it. I've learned how close I can get it to my fingers without doing some serious damage. I've learned that some of the high RPMs that sucker will get away from you real quick. But I have
launched across the room.
Yeah, well, I've launched some parts across the room, and I actually launched one part into my hand one time, and it stuck. That really sucked. But it's fun to start figuring things out and how to use some things differently than they were actually intended to be used.
But that's the whole point.
What do they call that? Off label medications where they prescribe it for the use other than what it was intended.
Well, like where Rogaine came from.
That's where Viagra came from.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was the desired side effect that all of a sudden, you know, like Rogaine was for treatment of some type of a heart disease, but all the patients that were on it grew hair. And they said, "Whoa, hey, hello," that kind of thing. Well, shit, Radio Memphis was built that
way. Exactly right.
There's no radio station in a box. I mean, I built it using, repurposing computers and shit to do that. And you have to do that. I mean, every time, like even when my wife and I go to a store to buy a piece of furniture that has to be assembled, I always have to re-engineer the damn thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it doesn't come out right that way.
No.
And then you realize, well, this isn't going to work. And then you completely redesign it.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of repurposing anything.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, I've become such a Goodwill geek. I love going to Goodwill and
finding stuff.
You spend
$4 on something that would normally cost $100, and then you've redesigned it to do something completely different.
And we also do some bad things to things we get from Goodwill too. We there's a lot of guys that have guns and stuff, and like your guns I took the other day. I swung by Goodwill and spent about $5 and got a lot of Targets. Bought a whole lot of teddy bears and Barbies and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's repurposing. I bought a Hannah Montana bust.
To be shot.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And it was, it was that kind of stuff. You know, it's kind of fun. You stick a bunch of teddy bears out there and everybody's shooting with AR-15s and shotguns and everything. And one of the guys, he laughed. He was with us. And he said, "Man," he said, "we really shouldn't be buying these from Goodwill and stuff." It's like, "Why? You can get them cheap." He said, "We need to go from Walmart where they've never been owned by a little kid." It's like, what are you talking about? He's like,
He's like,
"All these toys have souls, man." I was "Come on, dude." I was like, "Well, we're sending them on then, because I've been trapped in a bin forever."
That's right. That reminds me. There's a group of guys that go out and they'll go to Goodwill and whatnot, and they'll buy the old artwork.
Yeah.
Like hotel art, cheap prints, and they take them home and then they match the paints and they put stormtroopers in.
I've seen that.
And they'll put like an AT-AT off in the distance.
Is awesome.
That's cool.
And now something I've seen, I saw it on some show or something. I don't know. Some lady was going, she'd go to Goodwill and buy all these ugly ass prints and pictures and all. You know, there's a bunch of stuff in there sits forever. She'd never buy it for the picture. She always bought everything for the frame.
For the frame, yeah.
She'd take it, knock the picture out of the frame, repurpose the frame, paint it, do whatever else, and bam, you got a nice frame. And,
makes
you know,
sense.
Frames and shit are expensive.
Well, yeah, that's where you hear the stories about the people that go to the estate sales and the yard sales, and they'll find some, you know, oh, I like the frame, the cheap shit picture, and they take it out there, and they find, like, a copy of the Declaration of Independence in there.
Oh, yeah.
Van Gogh or some shit.
Yeah.
What was the guy that, five or six years ago, that found that he bought the slides or the negatives at a garage sale turned out to be like a lost collection of Ansel Adams.
Wow.
Yeah.
It happens.
It happens. Not to guys like us, but
no,
it happens.
No. Not at all. Well, there's a guy, it's actually the guy that builds the Iron Man. He has made a business of going to thrift stores and Goodwill and then turning it around on eBay.
Yeah.
He goes in, he cleans the stuff up, does a little repair work or whatever. And he carries his phone with him all the time. He'll walk into somewhere and see something. He's like, I think that's worth something. He'll look it up on eBay and see what it's selling for. He'll buy it for a dollar or two, whatever.
And then flip it.
Flip it. Take it home, clean it up, and turn around and sell it for $20 or $30.
Yeah, there are people that make their living doing that.
And
yeah.
Well, he does. That's all he does. That's how he makes his living. He flips stuff from Goodwill and thrift stores.
Do you go to any, like, these storage locker auctions?
Well, no. There is, and I'm sure there's got to be one in Memphis, too, but in Nashville, they call it the Goodwill Outlet, and it's actually where everything funnels in to go to all the Goodwill stores. And they get so much in, they can't
sort it behind, all. Yeah.
So they bring stuff out in big bins, and you buy stuff by weight. It doesn't matter what it is. You buy... It's like 50 pounds
man,
worth.
Man, you might end up with something you didn't want.
Well, you grab it, though. You get a basket, and you grab everything you want, and then they weigh it at the end. And 50 pounds will cost you like $30.
Is this in Nashville?
Yeah, there's one in Nashville like this.
Do not tell Avril that. She will want us to go to Nashville next weekend.
I went to that one. I will not go again. It is so freaking nasty. You need a dust mask and elbow gloves.
Yeah, because
nothing's been sorted, nothing's been cleaned. It's straight in from the distributor. I mean, from you know people dropping it off in the boxes and everything.
And there's
it's right
place,
out of the tractor trailer.
I think it's in Atlanta, maybe in Georgia or in Alabama. Where all the lost luggage winds up.
That's in Alabama. Yeah,
and
that's close to Huntsville.
And you buy the luggage.
Yeah.
Huh. For like $5, and what's in it? It's yours.
Yeah,
like a suitcase full of vibrators.
Yeah.
All right,
you never know. You really never know.
It's a suitcase
full of weed for $5.
It's all unclaimed luggage.
Unclaimed luggage.
Yeah, when your luggage gets lost in the airlines, that's where it goes.
Huh?
And you're not allowed to open it. I think you just have to.
No. Yeah, you buy it. You bid on it, and you buy that piece of luggage, and what you got.
And it might be dirt cheap. It might be there. Might be jewelry in there.
Huh? Yeah, could be a lot of liquor.
Yeah.
I lost a whole freaking suitcase full of liquor coming back from Mexico.
That just breaks my heart.
Oh, it broke my heart bad, man.
Made some TSA agent very happy.
Oh, I'm sure. Because it was probably, I think it was 8 liters that I lost in a suitcase.
Jesus. I think that's more than you're supposed to bring back without declaring it.
I think
that's not right.
I'm pretty sure there's a limit.
I was on a cruise, man. That's not right. You can bring out however much you want. I think actually you're only supposed to be able to bring back like a liter and a half, but that's if you tell them how much you have. But yeah, I lost that suitcase. It had all the bottles in one suitcase, but I learned I don't pack them all in one suitcase anymore. I spread them out.
I learned a trick, too, that if you're taking a cruise, not that anybody would really want to these days because it just turned into a shit fest.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't allow you to – you're not allowed to bring liquor on board the boat
because
they want you to buy theirs,
yeah. Which is why all-inclusive at a resort is always going to be worth it.
God,
absolutely.
Yes.
But if you're doing the cruise, buy your bottle of liquor that comes in the box or put it in a box.
Yeah.
Gift wrap it.
With
like happy birthday or something like that, and it's like, hey, it's a birthday present, and they're not going to open it up. They're just it's a pair of shoes, you know, that kind of thing. They leave it in the bag. Off you go.
I had some friends do something like that. It's a little bit more work, but of course, a lot of the Caribbean cruises, the Coke tastes different because it's used with pure cane sugar, regular,
absolutely
high fructose and everything. They took bottles of water. They went to Walmart and bought a whole bunch of bottled water and bought about a case of bottled Cokes. Poured all of it out, filled their water bottles with vodka and tequila, and then filled all their Coke bottles with whiskey. And they, when they went on the cruise ship, they you know, we don't like the Cokes that are on here, so we brought our own Cokes. We don't have to buy them or anything. And of course, they had bottled water.
Yeah.
And it was all their liquor.
Hell yeah.
That's the way to do it.
I mean, it's a little bit of work, but hey, you know.
You'd have to
dedicate a suitcase to carry all that shit because of the way the airlines are now, unless you're driving to where you're going to be sailing out of. But if you're flying to where your port is, you're going to have to dedicate a suitcase just for that stuff because of the fucking weight.
Or that's the only suitcase I'd need. I can buy clothes on the cruise. Come on.
Here's what you do is you if you're shipping out on the 10th,
yeah,
book a hotel for the 9th and have your shit FedEx to it.
Ah. Oh, there yeah, that's it.
There you go.
That's it.
Screw the airlines.
Hell yeah. Now, when I went on one cruise, we went into Jamaica and got on a Rum Runner boat. And before I got off the boat, they were making the stuff, and I had one of the Camelbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I poured all the water out of my Camelback, and I got them to fill my Camelback up with rum and whatever fruit juice crap they were mixing with it.
You'll never be able to use that Camelback. So
I
had my, for what it's
oh, I still
use it.
I still got that good Camelback, man. That's a great Camelback.
Don't take that backpacking.
But, yeah.
I wore that
sucker back onto the ship. You know,
hell
like
yeah.
a liter and a half in the back of that thing.
That's awesome.
That's the way to do it, Derek.
Just sucking on vodka while you're shopping in the bazaar or whatever. Now,
the all-inclusive resort.
Yeah, that's the way to go. If you're going to go down to Mexico, look, here's the deal. Now, we've talked about this.
Yeah, well, and we did. We went on our honeymoon.
Because, you know, if you look at going out of town, I mean, you know, I'm not part of the tourism commission for Mexico or whatever, but you talk about going out of the country, getting away, going to the beach, whatever, man, you're going to spend twice as much as to go to Jamaica. You
spend as much going to Florida.
You'll spend as much going to anywhere for a week in the United States and paying for your own meals, pay for the hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at, what is it, about $1,200 per person?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know what you guys paid.
For like 5 days.
For 5 to 7 days.
No, it was more. I was going to say, I don't know what you guys paid.
Yeah.
Christy and I went down to
Playa del Carmen, right?
Well,
because y'all
got me. No, we were away from there. We were
I know
Riviera Maya.
Riviera Maya.
Airline tickets back and forth, all our transportation back and forth in the hotel.
Course, that was all included.
All in a resort and everything. $2,400.
Yep.
And we were down
total.
There for 7 days.
Yep.
Total.
And that's
for the two of you.
For the two of us.
Wow.
And that's all the meals. That's all the liquor. More liquor.
I mean, you could spend some more money while you're there if you want to
leave the property. Yeah. But you need to.
No.
They went down there for their anniversary, and
it was our honeymoon.
It was the weirdest thing because, like, we got on the phone. Like, Avril and I just booked a trip to go, and we were literally arriving at the same airport the day after they left. And I was like, well, shit, we should have coordinated.
A little more thought. This would have been kind of cool. Yeah.
But for the money you spend, you can't beat it. You can't beat
it. $100 for a week.
Yeah.
All your food. I mean, and the food was phenomenal. This resort that we were in had 7 different restaurants. I mean, you could go eat French. You could go eat Italian.
So you don't
sushi.
Even take cash or anything?
No.
Well, you can.
You can if
I mean,
you
there's
want.
Stuff, there's stuff to go do if you want to go out and eat.
But you don't need to tip anybody either.
No. They. You
I
can.
Always tip the cleaning
I
room.
Did.
The lady that cleans the room.
Well,
always tip that lady.
My dad told me we had beach service, which was, you know, they bring the liquor and all that stuff down to you at your chair at the beach. And he said, if you tip the little girl that brings you your drinks,
she'll be Johnny on the
spot.
Yeah.
And that's, I gave her $5 the very first day.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Mr. Andy, Mrs. Christie. Every time she saw us,
that's
she'd follow
awesome.
Us down to her chairs and give us drinks and everything.
I have a stack of $2 bills that I've been collecting. And the reason being is that if we ever get to Cuba, you give a $2 bill to somebody down there, they will do anything in the world for you.
Really?
Huh.
That's a good luck charm.
Oh, wow. Well, I have a whole stack of those too. No reason I was collecting them.
I have just
have
a one, but
have a one.
Do you think they're ever going to open that up? I mean, it's coming, right? It's got to be. It's got to be.
It's coming. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Now that, you know, Fidel is out of there, his drunk brother Raul is in there. Yeah. He doesn't know what day of the week it is.
I wouldn't recommend trying to go to the Ukraine or anything anytime soon.
No.
That's really coming to a head right now. So yeah,
you got to pick your spots.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, the Ukraine's cold. I'm talking about Cuba, beaches, rum,
cigars.
Yeah,
if I go anywhere, it's going to be warm.
Brown women, I'm down.
Let's go. I can stick my toes in the sand and get me a drink in my hand and not give a shit about anything.
Oh, hell yeah. That's the way to do it, man.
I mean, when we went down to this resort in Mexico, they had a swim-up bar. They had these just gigantic pools. I mean, I don't know how big they were. They're enormous. And they had bars sitting in the middle of them you just swim up to. And it got to where we were like, we'll go to the bars in the morning, and then we'll hit the beach in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So we were out there paddling around one morning, and it was like 8:30, and the pool's about empty. I was like, yeah, nobody's out here yet. Cool, we'll go up to the bar. We go swimming up, and they're like, oh, no, we're not open yet. They didn't open until 9.
Oh.
So they waved us off, and we went out there floating around and laughed. And all of a sudden, we hear somebody going, hey, trying to look, and they're waving us back in. Okay, we're open now. So, we did a lot
hard to
lots
beat.
Of drinking.
It's hard to beat that kind of trip.
I would recommend that to anybody, and I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's
several chains that do it. There's Sandals, Club Med,
Club Ed. I know where I'm going on my next vacation. God damn.
I don't know. I did that. It was actually a joke. I think they call it Club Head because they, for money, they give you beads and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Did you ever go to the do the hedonism stuff with the
No,
crew?
I always produced it from home, so you know, from back here in Memphis. So I didn't get a chance to go, but I heard stories, and I'm kind of glad I didn't go.
You know, it always sounded exciting, but then I always pictured like HBO's Real Sex.
Well, it probably kind of ended up like a nude beach.
Yeah, but
what it was.
No, that is cool.
Oh, well, that's cool in theory.
In theory.
I've been to a nude beach, and that's really cool in theory.
But it doesn't work out that way, because all the people that want to get naked
shouldn't be.
Shouldn't be.
That's exactly right.
I'm one of them. I'm one of just before you offend anybody listening to us, I'm one of them.
There was a woman that was actually, we went, it was during one of the cruises, and we'd seen her on the cruise ship. And it was a fairly overweight Mexican lady. We saw her on the beach later. She wasn't completely nude, but she decided to go topless. She had a one-piece, and it just peeled this thing down like a banana. So it was like just hanging, you know, the inside, you know, the cups are flipped out and everything.
Oh, God.
And she had no reason to have the thing undone.
And
it was like, all right, roll them back up.
Hey, you know what? But again, as being one of the people that shouldn't be seen naked, there's got to be somewhere where people like us can go, you know, like the Island of Misfit Toys, where we can just go.
At this beach that we were at, I mean, there was probably out of 80 people that I saw, there were probably three that you actually would have imagined seeing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I wasn't one of them.
No.
And I didn't go nude. You know, I went topless. I go topless every chance I get. Well, but my ex-wife was topless there and stuff. But, I mean, it was like,
it's like HBO's Real Sex. The theory, the fantasy is excellent. Oh, yeah. The reality is
so far different.
It's so far different.
It's not porn movie stuff.
No. And apparently, you know, seeing Tim Spencer's bag hanging around everywhere, that was a big complaint I heard from Bad Dog a lot, was that, you know, they had a toga party, and of course he wore the hot toga, which was like really short. So every time he sat down, his sack lunch was hanging out.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nobody. And then they were in this club, and it had there was a glass water slide that went through it, and there's all these naked people.
Oh God! Oh.
I
don't even want to see hot people from behind on a water slide.
It was brown eyes, and
eyes, and you know they're all riding down in groups, and nobody needs to see that.
No, I will tell you something that does get you a lot of attention, and it's
going to the beach.
Consider it
a costume.
No, well, I hadn't tried that.
I wouldn't.
And you know, I have one of these. It's wearing a kilt.
Yeah. Andy's very proud of his Scottish heritage.
Yeah, you get a lot of attention wearing a kilt. Women go nuts for kilts. And always the biggest question,
are you wearing anything under there?
Yeah. And they always answer is, it's a kilt. If I was wearing underwear, it would be a skirt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the... Yeah. And I have been exposed, not exposing myself, but I have been exposed several times downtown Nashville with women coming up to take pictures and ask if there's anything under it. No. Well, they don't believe me,
and they got to check it.
You know what? They got to lift
because these women. I mean,
you got to be proud of what you're packing to be comfortable doing that.
They lift the kilt, and
not that I'm not.
My wife has no problem with it. She just giggles because she knows I'm going on with her.
My wife is from Ireland, right?
Wow, okay.
off the boat, Ireland. And
I
giggle every time she calls me laddie. How you doing, laddie?
Yeah, she speaks Gaelic and all this and stuff. And there was a golf tournament that we had gotten involved in, and I told her, I said, maybe I should wear a kilt for it, and she went, no, that's not happening. She said, how do you think it's going to – what do you think my reaction is going to be every time the wind blows on the tee box or you got to bend over to pick your ball up?
Oh,
you
know?
And there are some practical aspects of playing golf in a kilt. It doesn't work.
No, you know? No, it does not work. It you're right.
It's bad enough getting in and out of a car, for God's sake, but you know. You know,
Without pulling a Britney Spears.
I'm sure some people have got an eyeful with me getting, especially the Camaro, because I've driven it in the kilt. And it's hard to get out of that thing anyway.
Yeah, I've got that little Porsche. Imagine what that is going to
be like. Yeah. Rolling out of that thing in a kilt.
And
also, I get some really funny looks in our little hick ass town that I'm in. Like, we stopped at the gas
station. Some of those people in
your
hick-ass town might be listening to this.
That guy's wearing a skirt. What the hell?
That's exactly right. When we stopped at McEwen to get gas, and I didn't even think about it. I mean, I'm so comfortable wearing a kilt and stuff. We were on our way to Nashville to a buddy's house for St. Patrick's Day, and a bunch of us were wearing our kilts for it. I never thought twice about it. I got out of the car, and wind's blowing. I'm standing there pumping gas, and I heard somebody honk their horn. I turn up and look. It's these redneck dudes.
And I'm like, I don't have my hat on or anything. So they see this gleaming bald head, you know, and his kilt. So I guess they think I was just a dude in a dress. I don't know what they were doing, you know. And I just waved, smiled at him, and waved.
Yeah,
you know?
How's it going?
Hey, what's up, dude? And I got back in the car and laughed. I was like, yeah, I didn't even think about where we were, you know, doing this. And she was just sitting in the car just rolling. She's like, you didn't see everybody, did you?
You're kind of like Dr. Manhattan. And
yeah, I was like, my back's to the road, so I wasn't paying attention. She's like, every car that went by, she said people were doing double takes looking. You know, because, I mean, I do the whole thing. I don't just wear a kilt and tennis shoes. I mean, I've got the kilt hose, and I wear, you know, I do it upright.
The coin purse, what do they call it?
Oh, man, don't get me to lie. It starts with an S. It's hard as hell to say.
Sack.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a sack that hangs in front of my sack.
Exactly.
And actually, that thing is very handy. It keeps the front down when you sit down.
I think that's why it is that way.
Oh, yeah. You sit down, you spread
your
legs.
Put a couple of rolls of quarters in there, and you're good to go.
Well, I use it like a woman's purse. I mean, when I wear it, keep my wallet in there and my phone and my keys. I mean, I don't have any pockets. I'm not going to stick it anywhere else, so...
And they've got this thing now called the Utilikilt. Have you?
Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah,
it's like a denim kilt, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got pockets on it, just like a cargo pants or whatever.
I think it's made by Dickies.
I think I have to be a lot slimmer before I'm comfortable wearing a kilt.
Well, and then what's funny is a lot of times there's some people that know, you know, different things about kilts and stuff, and they'll ask you about the tartan, which is the color scheme of your kilt. And of course, I'm lucky enough that my last name is actually Old Scottish. It's actually Scottish and Irish. When the whole big revolution and everything started, a bunch of the Galloways took off and went to Ireland. They're like, "Yeah, we're not into this. We'll take off.
Screw you guys. I'm going home."
That's exactly right. So you've got Irish Galloways, which theirs are usually mine is Galloway, and theirs is Gallaway.
Right.
That's the Irish ones, and the Scottish are OW. Well, I actually found the tartan, my family tartan, a Galloway hunting tartan, and so that's what I got my kilt as.
Wow.
So that's always nice to say, you know, it's my family tartan, you know.
Yeah, you can't really do that with Janovitz as a last name.
No, I don't figure they have a tartan for that. But
well, there is a McCarter tartan, and that's my mother's side. That's
there you go. I mean, it's funny. When I first
I could pull a kilt off, though, under any circumstances.
You'd be really surprised. I mean, it's had a bunch of buddies that had them. And, of course, they kept egging me on. They're like, you really got to get one, try it. And I was like, I don't know. And one of my buddies loaned me one of his.
Yeah.
And I wore it. And it's the most comfortable damn thing in the world.
I'm going to say, visually, there's little difference between you wearing that, a kilt.
Yeah.
Or you wearing that with a white shirt and looking like a Catholic schoolgirl.
Don't wear a white shirt. You know.
Don't wear the white shirt.
I mean... I don't wear a white shirt.
Or the knee-high socks, right?
Hey, my socks are about knee-high. The kilt hose come up to just below
your knees.
Because
really, it's just your knees that are exposed.
Yeah, yeah, really it is. It's just your knees. Because the kilt's supposed to stop just above the knee, and then you have the kilt, they call them kilt hose, they're just wool socks that come up just below your knee. And then you have the flashes, which are the little tabs that look like the same pattern as your kilt that hang out from underneath the sock on the side.
Right.
And I always wear those. I mean, I always wear the socks.
Hell, I don't know. I think I'd wear a sarong before I got into a kilt, though.
You know, that should be the next Radio Memphis event. I will pay good money to see you in a sarong or a grass skirt.
Not a grass skirt. It's
a little itchy. Some coconuts on the chest.
No, I'm not doing a whole Sailor Jerry thing. That's, you know, that's just not going to happen. But it's, no. In fact, Diane and I were talking about sarongs, and a lot of guys wear them in Indonesia, and it's a long skirt. It's ankle length.
Yeah, I was going to say a lot of the Pacific Islanders wear them. I mean, that's
and they're comfortable as hell.
Well, they're like the really light linen or whatever
silk.
Yeah, it's just
light cool silk.
Yeah, cool.
And that's free balling, you know.
Yeah,
island style. But you don't have to worry so much about stepping onto stuff, and you know, because your bag isn't going to fall out.
I just wish the Polynesians wear them, and I mean, a lot of Hawaiian men wear them, and.
Yes. I just wish I was fit enough to rock the loincloth, you know.
Someday, my friend.
Straight up loincloth. No, I think that day was about 20 years ago.
Last year, you dropped a shit ton
of I'm on my way there, but still, loincloth, you got to be...
Weight isn't the only factor on that. That's a lot of self-confidence.
You got to be pretty proud of a lot of factors.
I'll sport a kilt, but I'm not doing the loincloth, man. I'll do it in the bedroom. But
you got to make sure you're like the sides of your thighs are in shape to wear a loincloth, man.
What would be the most, I guess, self-conscious thing? The Superman getup or a loincloth?
Superman getup, because loincloth at least hangs loose in some spots.
Yeah.
Superman,
that's like Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
You got to be in pretty good shape to strike out on.
Christy said something about that. She said, we don't have a Spider-Man in our group. I laughed. I said, we don't have anybody in our group that can pull off Spider-Man.
Yeah. It's a lot of factors.
We don't have anybody that can actually pull that costume off.
Yeah.
I've seen some Spider-Man that have no business being Spider-Man.
You know what? I have too, actually. Yes.
Spider-Man in the later years. You know, yeah. And I've seen some really good ones. I have seen some guys in cons that are like, holy crap, you know. And I saw a guy that was Mr. Fantastic. That was spot on. I mean, it was phenomenal. He was wearing the tights and everything, and he was the longest leg, lankiest, skinniest dude in the world, and he pulled it off.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's some costumes certain people just really shouldn't try.
See, there was one of those times when we were promoting the comic book. We were in Chicago at the Wizard World Comic Con in Chicago, and our booth was right across from the Marvel booth, and they had a guy. Marvel paid to put in the costume to be there at the Marvel booth, and he was packing a hog, to use Rick's words, and it was very uncomfortable because we were sitting there all day watching this guy interact with little children, and he's in this spandex one suit, and it's like, damn. Like, I'm uncomfortable, and I'm not even like the little girl getting his autograph, you know?
I'm not high level with it.
Yeah, I'm not high level with it.
Damn, dude, put that thing away.
And I mean, just, you know.
Tuck it behind your... pull it and tuck it, man.
But to be fair, if you're going to wear a spandex one suit, that's kind of a prerequisite, too. You better either pull a David Lee Roth and stuff that shit or be proud of what you're packing.
Yeah.
Within reason, though. You can't go in, you know, the extremes can't work.
I'll say you can't do a Dirk Diggler, man, no, wearing spandex.
A little penis head poking out of your pants leg down the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's certain limits to that. You need to find a new profession, a new hobby. You know, they pay pretty good money for guys to be like that some places.
Might make more money than dressing up as Spider-Man.
That's exactly right.
Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland.
I'm sure by the end of this podcast, by the time, there's probably already there, because I have a sneaking suspicion that this is probably going to be the one podcast that's going to start generating written comments, and I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of hateful things that are going to be said, so I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave them up there. I'm gonna leave them up there and let you people sort them out. I won't get involved. You guys say what you want to call me an ass. I'm an ignorant idiot. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about when it comes to politics. And you can so you're just some long haired hippie. And you know, do you care? You're living off the government tit. No, I am not.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
All right, so that's going to do it for this one.
Done already.
It's been fun.
Andy, thank you for coming to town and sitting with me and Rick. I've been wanting
sure enough. Anytime.
Get you in here to talk about the whole cosplay thing. I know it's a big part of your life.
I appreciate
and
you coming
it's
by.
It's a very cool thing you do. So.
Yeah, anytime, man.
And so you got any, you know, now where you said you had YouTube videos up of yourself, or is this of
I'm sure there's some up there of
you wouldn't recognize
the Nashville. Yeah, you wouldn't recognize me of the Nashville thing, because there were lots of cameras and stuff on us when we went tromping around Nashville at the bars. Somebody found some. I don't know if I could find them. You could probably just type in Stormtrooper Downtown Nashville, and I'm sure you'd find us.
Well, what about Bestine Fan Force? You guys got a Facebook page? Or
There's a Bestine Fan Force Facebook page.
Bestine, Bestine?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and I actually came up with a name for our group. It's one of those nerd things. Yeah. It's the capital city of Tatooine. It's the imperial capital.
Right.
And we have Bestine.com, which is just our own little webpage. And of course, 501st.com. There's anything you want to know about the 501st is on that.
And what are you off to next? What's the next cosplay event for you?
The next thing is the Jackson Generals baseball game. They're having Star Wars night.
That's for May the 4th weekend, right?
Yeah, that's May the 4th weekend. Actually, May the 3rd. They have a big fireworks show, and there's going to be probably about 35 of us there, I think.
Oh,
right
wow.
Now is what our count
awesome.
Is.
Yeah.
All in costume. There'll be Darth Vader's pitching out the first pitch. There'll be Stormtroopers.
Throwing out the first piss. It's Lord Vader.
That's exactly right, man. That's what we did last year. We had a Leia.
That's awesome.
We took Leia captive. There's a girl that lives here in Memphis. Kelly is her name, and she does a great Leia. And
she probably
up.
Is a great Leia.
Probably. She's married. Happily married, seems to be.
Great Leia. before we sign off, also, you know, yes. What? You need to tell Rick about whose autograph is on the inside of your breastplate.
Oh, that's right. I have Weird Al Yankovic's.
How the fuck did that happen?
I was actually in his concert last year.
Were you really?
He does. Every year when he comes to Nashville or whatever cities he does, he requests the 501st because he has the Star Wars songs that he does.
Right,
he's got
right,
about
right.
three of them that he does.
Yeah.
He wants Stormtroopers out there in Vader. And so I asked to do it. You know, there's a bunch of people say, hey, I want to raise their hand. And I was like, I'd like to do it. And I got picked. And it was cool. He's a really, really nice guy. We
awesome.
Got to meet him backstage, talk to him. He's just down to earth, just greatest guy in the world. And the concert was a blast.
That is so cool.
A lot of fun.
That is way cool. Andy, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Anytime you're around, come on by. We'll do it again.
Shoot, yeah. I'd love to do it again.
Jeff, thank you, sir.
Yeah, it was a blast. Thanks for having us on, Rick.
And yeah, anytime.
Thanks for coming in, Andy.
All right, man.
There you go. And that's it for this edition from Radioland. We'll see you next time.
Radio.